Welcome to Two Nerds and an Actor, the entertainment podcast for the nerd adjacent to the nerd aficionado, where we give you bi-weekly reviews on a popular TV show and movie, where we tell you in hilarious fashion what to watch and why. This is season 4, episode 18, and I'm here with my nerdos, Mike Santana.
Nerdos?
It's like... I'm guessing it's like Mando?
It is like Mando. He got it.
Oh. Then, I don't know. I'm Dank Farrick. Dark Farrick. There you go. Slim Farrick. I'm just cursing.
Slim Farrick.
Cursing all over the place here.
France Jerome.
I'm going to go with Franz Gideon. I like how it sounds.
Ooh. I'm just your baby Yoda.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Aisha Jordan. Duh. Host baby Yoda, but I don't know, maybe not eating all the things
except macaroons. You do like macaroons.
Oh yes, okay, who, now it's getting into spoilers.
Who doesn't like macaroons?
Agreed. So if you didn't know already, today we are talking about The Mandalorian season 2, just the first few episodes, 4 I believe. We'll also be touching on the new kids musical Over the Moon and hitting nerdy leaks on the new direction and directors of Deadpool, the Johnny Depp sitch, and movie releases, Wonder Woman and Monster Hunter. And I mean movie releases like theater releases. So let's jump into it. All right. So first in our nerdy leaks, we have Deadpool is being directed by two people I don't know.
but you know their work.
I do know their work. How do you say, do you know how to say their name, France?
I think it's Molyneux.
Molyneux. I feel like it's French.
Definitely. The EUX is the giveaway.
So it's the, what, like Molyneux sisters? Are they two?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Two women who actually directed Bob's Burgers.
They write for it, too.
They write for it, too. Mm-hmm. Which is very exciting, because anyone who loves Bob's Burgers, like me, personally, I'm excited to see them do, like, really fucked up rated R shit. What? It's true. Because, like, Bob's Burgers is always like, oh, this is, like, innuendo. Now he could just, like, straight up say it.
Just straight up say it. Yeah, it's exciting. Rob Layfield and Mr. Ryan Reynolds themselves both blatantly and subtly intimated that they were going to be working with, or that the Deadpool movie crew was looking for writers, and that Disney gave it a budget, and Disney is kind of telling them, go thou and be R. You know, like, go and
word,
be what you is by being what you are rated. So
I think he's saying it's R rated.
Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds posted a little drawing of Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Really?
But yeah, but the thing is that he had like the two swords in the back like Deadpool does.
Oh my God. Wait, who posted this?
Your boy, Ryan Reynolds.
It didn't come up on my feed.
It was in his story.
Oh, now I'm like looking for it. It's going to be gone by the time.
It is gone because it was yesterday. But that was a little clue. And then Rob Layfield, the creator, I guess, of Deadpool, was like, finally, Disney came to their senses, blah, blah, blah. They hired this and this person to work on the writing. And the Deadpool movie is in, for all intents and purposes, production. So, yeah. And it's like Deadpool 3. That's another thing that needs to be clear. This isn't like a reboot. It's not a... This is
soft redub.
Right. This is Deadpool 3. So it'll be following the fucking fantabulous events of 1 and 2.
Okay. So it's not just like some other thing.
No.
Some other third thing.
No.
It is some other third thing.
Connected to the other two things.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be more X-Men characters?
God willing. the collabos is like, not nothing crazy, but like a little cameos here and there. If people make cameos in Deadpool, that's what I live for.
So you think it's going to be cameos? It's not going to have like full on characters. I mean, besides like the two or three we've had.
I think that if there are any like Fox movie X-Men character cameos, they'll be seen like that because Marvel is still, we're not clear how they're going to do mutants and what the X-Men are and whatever. You know what I mean? So
right.
If we do see any cameos, I think it'll be within the context of, oh, weren't you Beast? You know, some shit like that. You know, it won't be like the present tense that it was in the first two Deadpool movies.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Well, I'm excited to see ladies doing inappropriate shit, so. Yay!
The theme for this was going to be the Savage Remix.
The Savage Remix. Okay, talking about women doing inappropriate shit. The Johnny Depp situation.
Oh, you weren't even...
That was...
You leaned into that one.
Yeah, I'm like, that was the...
It's fucked.
Finger roll on the baseline. That was graceful.
Yeah, she got the jelly.
Thank you. Well, so if people don't know, basically Johnny Depp has had to step back and step away from the J.K. Rowling, what is it, Fantastic Beasts. I believe there's going to be 7 of them. So
what?
Yeah, that was when it first came out. It was said there will be 7 Fantastic Beasts movies. Wow. So he will no longer be playing Grindelwald, and which is actually quite sad. But basically, it's because he is still tied up in this situation with his ex-wife. I don't know if they're still technically married. I don't know if they got divorced yet. I'm pretty sure that's coming down the line. Just that could be the least that we know, because he lost his case with that. There was in which court? I forget which court it was.
The UK courts.
UK. It was in UK, but he lost his case against, I don't know.
It was a libel suit.
Yeah,
and he lost.
He did. So I mean, I think that basically Disney. What's not Disney? It's what, Universal. WB.
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers. There you go. Warner Brothers. Is like just doesn't want to be tied up in any mess. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even though it sounds like she's been doing things to him, we don't, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know the whole situation, but I think they just don't want to be a part of it.
Sounds like, about right.
Can you just not?
It's not the first time they kind of, I'm going to say this. I think they're dropping the ball with this. 1. 2, it wouldn't be the first time they did some shit like this that was really fucked up. The Matrix had the same thing.
Really?
The dude who played Tank, the operator, had a marijuana charge. And then some other little stuff on the side. And rather than work with it,
right,
they just clipped him and had to change the whole movie.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, let's be clear. This was a libel case. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, I don't know if like a domestic violence case has been brought forth yet.
Mm.
That being said, Warner Brothers, I believe... Aquaman was made in their, you know, by them, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they asked Johnny Depp to step down from the role of Grindelwald in one of their films. Why the fuck haven't they asked Amber Heard to do the same?
Right? That's true. If they don't want to be tied up in the mess, why haven't they asked her to step down?
Exactly. So
for public opinion?
Well, the court of public opinion right now, all the motherfuckers that lobbied for the Sonic the Hedgehog to be remodeled, they have now put their energies into signing online petitions to the tune of, I think, almost 2 million.
Like a spirit
box. To get him to come back?
No, to get Amber Heard the fuck out of any of the Justice League type movies.
Oh.
Because she's in the trailer, so.
Yeah, she's in the trailer, so they're like, get her the fuck out of here. That's how a lot of people
feel.
I
agree. Honestly, like, I don't know if anyone else heard those tapes of, like, them arguing or whatever. Like, she sound mad abusive towards him. And I'm not going to say, like, I know what's going on in their home. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe Johnny Depp, you know, did anything to her while he was drunk. I don't know, but that sounded so fucked up.
It was terrible.
It was so uncomfortable to listen to. It was like my heart.
But if Hollywood excluded all the terrible human beings and rough marriages and or relationships, if they ever excluded those people from making films, then
it'd only be Tom Hanks.
What? Tom Hanks and Keanu.
What would get made? Yeah, because Mel Gibson is still being able to do some things, and
right, Clint Eastwood.
You talk about crazy ass motherfucking tapes. Those Mel Gibson tapes are in the Hall of Fame of fucked
up.
Yo, the Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, I know.
But I'm telling you, even the Alec Baldwin one isn't like any Christian Bale rant you can find is tame compared to even one Gibson, of the Mel Gibson tapes.
It's so messed up.
You can tell you grew out his beard and those tapes.
But anyway, poor Johnny Depp. Poor rich Johnny Depp.
Poor rich Johnny Depp. Although he does have money problems because all those tchotchkes he wears on his wrists, apparently he has some kind of issue and he can't stop buying them. So he uses like all his money.
He'll be fine though because Warner Brothers still has to pay him for the Fantastic Beast movie, even though he's not in it. Yeah,
so he can keep buying bracelets.
Yeah, exactly. He can buy all the goddamn tchotchkes he fucking wants. All the rum he wants. All the rum. Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think he's drinking it right now.
Mm-mm. No. But Amber Heard, I mean, get her the fuck out of Aquaman. I'll say
it. I agree. Like, honestly, I don't feel like she is something that's like, you know what I mean? If they got rid of her, I'm not going to be like, oh no. Like,
I don't care if she was the central character in it.
Exactly.
That doesn't matter. But WB, if you're going to do it for one, you should do it for the other.
Right. Be consistent.
Yeah. Get the fuck up out of here.
Talking about ladies in movies. Wonder Woman. You know, it's like a thing. Ladies. Wonder Woman's coming out in theaters at the same exact time that it's coming out streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fucking Christmas Day.
Yep.
Who decided that we all needed to see Wonder Woman on Christmas?
It's going to cake up.
Well, of course it is, but I mean, that's not a gift that I wanted.
No, but these are the same people.
For that.
But this is the same studio that asked Johnny Depp to leave and Amber Heard to stay.
True.
It's the same studio. Some
bad choices.
Decisions are confusing me.
Yeah. Ooh, that was a Ghost Rider.
It was.
But yeah, it's coming out on Christmas Day to stream if you're so inclined to be safe, and in theaters if your area is such that, you know, COVID might not be such a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Which is fast becoming the everywhere, world.
Right? Yeah, I was the like, world nowhere. Again is
it's a thing. Yeah. So I don't know how that's supposed to work. But also, there's another movie dropping around that time.
Yeah. Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
So we talked about the trailer for this movie, and it's the one with, what's her name?
Mila Jovovich.
There we go. Volvo.
Yeah. She also, just never ages. I really don't get it. Like, where? No.
I heard she
was
at
Resident Evil?
No, I heard she was at a party and she, like, Jennifer Connelly got cut, got into all the
drinks. Shut up. You and that theory about Jennifer goddamn
she's
Connelly.
She's the Highlander.
All the time. It's like she's giving people her blood to stay young. Is that what you're saying?
I am immortal.
I bet you could go find a picture of Jennifer Connelly right now. You're going to be like, oh my God, she looks old.
Like her, Pharrell.
exactly. Well, it's like Lost Boys.
Keanu. They were all like in a class together in 1864.
And specifically, I want to be clear, like white people who are still looking young. Because like black people be not changing ever.
I said Keanu.
I know. I'm just being clear. Because like otherwise it would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Black don't crack. But no, that's not what we're talking about.
Who else is in Monster Hunter? T.I. That's who it was. It's T.I.
Oh, right.
Tip.
Tip Harris.
So I guess that's coming to movie theaters. Honestly, I don't I don't know why. I get why Wonder Woman would, but like Monster Hunter, just put that shit on like HBO Max or whatever.
You know, this might be seen as disrespectful, and that's fine. I don't, you know, I would, if I had to buy a movie ticket on Christmas Day to see one of those two movies, I'd probably go watch Monster Hunter.
Oh, my word.
Like, knowing that it's probably going to be a, you know, I still have more interest in that than I do in this Wonder Woman sequel. Oh, that seems shit. When you all say over like the that. Place.
Well, I guess it would be funner to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'd like, have way less questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that might seem disrespectful, but if I have to support just one heroine, it will be Mila Jovovich. Mila,
that's true. If you had to choose between Mila and Godot.
That's not a hard choice for me.
So. No, it's not.
Who was she in Resident Evil? She was Jill, right? Jill Valentine?
I don't know what the fuck she was, France. No, she wasn't Jill.
Who was she?
In Resident Evil?
Because there was a Jill.
Oh, wait, they made a character for
Isn't
her.
She the main character?
Yeah, but they made up a new character.
They made up, some new character.
Was it Mary or some shit?
So she wasn't in the game?
No, I think it was Gila Movovich.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a Soviet brand clone.
So my family wants to rent a movie theater for the holidays because it's only $100.
But there's a lot of caveats.
I mean, I don't know how it works, but we couldn't find a movie that was worth it. We were literally like, what? It's only $100. Oh, and then we were like, what are we even going to watch? And then my mom was like, there's not a lot of choices here.
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of things got delayed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could pick Wonder Woman if we were really so inclined, but... Not that exciting.
I'd watch Tenet there a second time.
Yeah, if they have it, it might not even be there anymore.
Well.
All right. Well, let's move on and give some shout outs. This goes out to you and you and you and you and you and you. Shout outs. I feel like I want to shout out some awesome people. JT, right?
Yeah.
Didn't JT or no Cortez?
Yes.
JT and Cortez. Cortez actually gave us some good advice. And I was like, man, we got to shout him out. You know, like we don't shout out our diehard day one fans enough. So shout out to Cortez.
Cortez had the audacity to make a suggestion.
Like, called him audacious.
How dare he?
What? We had to listen. Those longtime listeners are like, I remember back in the day when you guys used to record on a phone.
Yo, oh, my God. Yo, fuck. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit.
Wow.
I'll shout out JT specifically for, like, you know, his tech support. He's been very behind the scenes tech support suggestion guy.
Clutch homie.
Yeah, it's been helpful. E, too.
E and me Christian, they've always, like, honestly, we wouldn't be where we are now without all the advice and
just straight up support. Yeah, the homies is looking out.
Yeah. So if you're looking to be one of those people we shout out in our supports, there are four ways that you can support us. Number one, you can donate. You can go to twonerdsandactor.squarespace.com. Again, spelling out the number two. Click donate. You could give us $5 a month. You give us $1 a month. You could just give us $5. But either way, it helps us pay for equipment and our sound guy, Daryl. Y'all know Daryl. Thank you, Daryl. And all the things that can help us expand. We want to do videos in our next season. So we'll need money for that. We need a video editor, all that jazz. So if you can donate, we can do videos.
And if y'all follow me on social media, you know I've been trying to upgrade the situation.
Exactly. That's the
y'all can help
money.
Out. Yeah, you know I mean?
100%.
If Aunt Viv and Will can make up, y'all can help out.
I agree. So donate. If you can't donate, like, subscribe, comment, share, and download. Do all of those things. Do one of those things. Anything you do in that list actually gets the algorithms working for us. more people will know who we are. And actually, people who can donate might donate. So please make sure you're doing that. If you are a blogger or anything, write a review. Tell us what you think. And then let us know that you've done that. And we'll share it out and get more recognition. Or become a sponsor. If you have a business, you want us to do a quick commercial, you want us to say something about you, please let us know. We're really, really down for supporting Bronx businesses. So if you're out there, you have a business you're trying to get out there, please let us know. Whew. All right.
I was so tempted to do like R&B things after each one. Like if you're a blogger, tell me what you think.
I was like, ooh,
what stopped you?
Time, man. We gotta be respectful of the time limits.
But you could hype man it while she's reading it. I mean, if it's in your feelings.
I agree. That would have been fun.
Why? Oh, say less.
I just need a ooh.
No, France. Okay. Say ooh-ee. More.
Yeah.
Say more. Don't look at me like that. Don't do that.
Slim.
Yeah, why should we get on video? Y'all gonna see,
be crazy.
Y'all gonna see all the like the sexual tension. In the stairs for agreed. No reason. They have nothing to do.
It's not with between sex. Me.
Yeah, no. I'm
just, what? No, of course not.
No, it's probably exclusively me and France.
Agreed.
Agreed. Fuck you. All right, enough. Move on. Okay, you see what happens on, when you don't on. Talk?
All right, let's move on to our no spoilers review.
This is where we about to talk some shit about some movies, but not let the secrets out.
We're doing our no spoilers review of the first episodes of Mandalorian. I believe there are 4.
11.
Baby pew pew. 4.
Yeah, pew 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 pew. 4 episodes, and we're also doing a no spoilers review of Over the Moon, the Netflix original movie. So if you haven't seen those, as usual, keep listening. If you have seen those, also keep listening. Because we will get into some spoilers later on. Okay. So, Mandalorian. I just want some kind of quick first reactions. How does it match up to season 1? Are you hopeful? Are you like, I feel the same?
I go first. It feels good. It's just, you know, it is. It's not breaking its own mold. It's actually almost in step, episode for episode. With the first season, where they kind of they gave us the scope of where they could go in the first one. So for this one, I'm getting this a lot of the same inside that scope. They already let you know we're not going further than this, but here's some things, and they're just playing around in the same universe. It feels good. Characters feel good. New characters feel good. it's all good for right now. I'm still waiting for some business, but no spoilers. So I'm gonna chill.
So would you say? Like, you're on same par as season 1 for you.
Yes. Okay. Whatever brought you to the first season is still here and it's still happening. The exact same way.
Mike, how do you feel? You seem like you're inquisitively scratching your beard.
Oh, wait till the video.
Sensually, that's the word you like.
Excuse me.
I, 4 episodes in... I feel like the series is still ridiculously high quality in terms of production.
Oh my God, it's that volume.
They have spared no expense. But in terms of pacing, I feel like it's too early for me to say. In some areas, I feel like they've moved the main core story along. But in other areas, I feel like they've broadened where this series is going to go or where it could go. And you have to remember it's operating within a very finite amount of space in mm-hmm. between the original 4, 5, 6 trilogy and the, you know, 7, 8, 9 that we saw. So it's operating in between there. So things have to eventually line up, link up with the events that we saw in 7, 8, 9. But I feel like they're also broadening the scope, as France mentioned, so that we might be able to play around in this time frame a lot more than maybe, you know, fans who are up on their Star Wars stuff were aware that they were willing to go. So that's good. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I feel like it is a little bit even... more focused this season than last season. So, like, I feel like last season was very much kind of, like, introductory. And there were some parts of it that you're like, why am I even watching this? Why is this even happening? And I feel like this season they've gotten a little more, you know, focused. They're like, we have this specific thing we're looking at, and there's still mysteries to it, but we're not randomly, you know, breaking people out of some jail for some reason. So I feel like it still has those moments of like, I'm going on these side adventures, but I feel more grounded in like, this is something that I can follow. Like, it's all going to come together. So for me, I feel like it's a little bit elevated from season one. Because like every episode in season one, you were waiting for something like, oh, you're waiting for the shooter drop or whatever. You're like, oh, okay, so something else now? Or like, what is any of this? I feel like.
I'll say this, though. I'm noticing it more 4 episodes into this season than last. I'm enjoying and really looking forward to the different directors and their takes and how they play with the toys, kind of, you know, of Star Wars. I am really enjoying that more 4 episodes into this season already.
Yeah.
And it's making me want to kind of go back and do a better job of identifying the styles and the things that different directors brought. Like, even Bryce Dallas Howard, because she directed an episode or two in season one, and she directed another episode already in season two. Carl Weathers directed an episode.
Yeah.
And me noticing how different yet the same, but the fact that they're bringing their own takes on these things is really fun to see. It makes me think of, in a weird way, like the Animatrix, how you gave a bunch of different creators, even though they chose different ways to show them, like different styles. But still, they were playing within the same box. They were playing within the same, you know, room of the Matrix, right? So seeing the different directors and their takes on a Mando story and a Baby Yoda situation, whatever, that's kind of been the most enjoyable thing for me so far.
Yeah, I also like that, but you know, my favorite is Taika Waititi. So,
do we know if he's directing an episode this season?
I don't know, actually. I hope so.
And we wonder if he'll be pulled out of the story of this actual thing in order to, because they're giving him his own Star Wars movie.
That's right. So. And he's also working on Thor, Love and Thunder.
Right.
Right.
I'm curious. So,
yeah, I don't know if he had time to do an episode.
To do another one.
And it's not like, you know, well, this is a spoiler for season one, but I-88, whatever the droid's name is.
The robot, yeah.
IG-88, yeah. I mean, he's kind of kaputs, so not like he has to show up for that.
I know. They were also thinking about him for Star Trek, weren't they, for a second? And I think he said no or something like that.
He said Tarantino no.
But I imagine.
Well, all right. Well, I recommend watching it. I think we all recommend.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Get in it. So the next, the movie we watched, because there's not a lot of movies to watch, was Netflix's Over the Moon. So my question, without any spoilers, is this Crazy Rich Asians for kids?
No. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Hell no.
What? Ned, like emphatically no.
I just had to say it. Because it's a fully like Asian cast.
I'll tell you what this movie is. It's where all the lack of art direction in Mulan, the live action movie, went.
Oh man.
Facts.
Yeah.
It's where all the wonderful, compassionate, loving takes of the aesthetics of Chinese culture and all that.
Yeah.
It's where that was lacking. In Mulan. It's all here. This is where it went.
Beautiful. Like the animation, like every moment that there was like food or anything was happening, mm-hmm. I was like, is this real life?
Yeah.
How did they animate this?
Incredibly done. Yeah. This is one of the most. Yeah. You can watch this movie on mute.
Yes.
If you wanted, and you would get a visual, a stunning visual experience for an hour and 40 minutes.
Honestly. And this is going to sound rude, but I want to watch it on mute. That might just be my, you know, slight aversion towards musicals. So if you didn't know, the movie is a musical. And if you don't like musicals, I just need you to be prepared because it is a musical.
This is DreamWorks, right? Was it DreamWorks?
I feel like it was. I don't think it was
Disney. So let's be clear. No, it was not Disney.
Yeah, it was not Disney.
It was not DreamWorks.
Okay, but the point is it was not Disney.
No, not Disney.
I want to emphasize that.
For sure. Because I would not have been saying the same thing if it was
like
Disney.
It's a musical, but it's not like they're not chaining fucking songs back to back to back to back.
Right.
Not really. I mean, there's some moments where it's like you get a good chunk of minutes in between.
I'm sure this was the whole soundtrack was represented in this movie.
Yeah, but what I mean, there's a lot of songs. It's a musical.
It's not Les Mis. That's what he's saying. Not every single word is song.
Not every word.
About Les Mis.
No, it's a slander. Les Mis. It's a slander. Oh.
There's a lot of songs.
Wow. Jean Valjean. Is he in that?
Yes, Hugh Jackman. That's him.
No.
That's him. Yes,
why you gotta be an ass about it? Just say he's in it.
He is in it.
No, but France did a thing.
I know.
Oh, no, I thought you meant in Over the Moon. I'm like, wow. Oh.
No. No.
He is in Over the Moon. Stop. He plays the little dog thing.
Yikes.
He plays the space dog.
The space, that's him.
Spoiler.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. This is space dog.
Actual spoiler, the director actually is playing space dog.
Oh, it was the director? Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, Glenn Keane.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's a cute movie. I think he's great for kids. Yeah. I will talk more about it in the spoiler about my personal feelings.
Yeah, I texted Alexi in the middle of it and said, yo, have you seen this? And she was like, I have not. I'll check it out. And I was like, yeah, you do that and you let me know what you think.
That is the cutest thing. When kids talk like adults, it's amazing. She's like, I will take a look. Thank you for letting me know.
She was like, I will check it out.
I appreciate your insight and goodbye.
Yeah. Mima thought the rabbit was, well, in particular, Bungie,
right.
Was adorable. And then she said to me, basically, do they have rabbits like that?
Like in the world?
With the laser with the laser ears?
Okay, yeah, with the
Fenty
away.
With the Fenty eyebrows.
The Fenty eyebrows.
He's in the Bungie's in the trailer. She's in the trailer.
Yep. It's true. But I'm saying France is giving away other stuff.
Oh, but I'm saying she asked me that. And I looked at her. I was like, "Do you want a rabbit?" She's like, "In real life, no." And I was like, "All right, then just."
We gotta get her like a Tamagotchi rabbit based on Bungie. She could just look at it.
She just wanted to reach into my TV and get Bungie.
She wants that rabbit.
She wanted that rabbit.
What is the game Animal Crossing? You just make her one of those. Rabbits. You have it for herself in her garden.
This was the Netflix original.
Yeah. Oh. But what does that? What does that mean? Like, that means who did it?
That means it couldn't have been DreamWorks.
Yeah, it means fuck DreamWorks. That's what it means.
So who does? Well, you know what? It's probably Netflix animation because I've been seeing things for like them hiring for Netflix animation.
Well, wait. What was the other? They did another animated thing.
A few.
I have a bunch.
But that we talked about, no?
We did. I can't remember what it is right
now. What was it?
It was like a CGI meme, right?
Yeah. We did. I feel like it was good.
It's not coming to me right now, but damn, I could have swore that they did another project that we talked about.
Yeah. If you're a diehard listener and you remember, put it in the comments.
Oh my God.
Just stop laughing at us. Stop laughing.
Yeah, they're like, no, I feel like they're screaming right now. Like, it was this movie.
Shafunk, man. Damn. All right, whatever.
All right, should we rate it? Rate it now. Yeah,
let's rate it. What are we rating it out of? How many steamed crabs?
It had steamed crabs.
Moon buns.
Moon buns, yeah. The moon pies. They were moon pies.
The moon buns. Moon pies? Moon cakes.
Moon cakes.
Where are your minds?
This all sounds sexual.
I literally
picked
everything moon and...
Crescent buns.
Have any of us ever had a moon cake?
I've never had a moon cake.
I don't actually know what they are.
It's a canal street.
All right, we're just going to have to stop this, get some moon cakes. We'll be back.
Outdoors. We eat them outdoors.
Yeah, outside.
All right, we're gonna rate them on mooncakes.
All right, I'm gonna give it 6.5 mooncakes.
Oh, 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5.
I'm gonna give it 5.5 mooncakes.
Wow.
This was like the bottom of. It was like the bottom, like the bottom of the top.
You did not like it.
I didn't. I was like, this reminds me of all the things that it could take to make a good animated movie, but didn't land it.
Wow, dang. I am so shocked. I am completely shocked by this.
I didn't know about the 5.5.
You can't predict me.
And clearly, no, I'll give this movie a 7.5 or 8.
Ooh.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the songs weren't. I'm not gonna remember any of them, but they weren't. they weren't like terrible. Mm. And I felt that the heart of the movie, the rest of it was in a really good place. I love the art direction, the animation, the visuals were so good.
Stunning.
Like if this is what Netflix could fuck around with, then
yeah.
Tell a good story on accident, but it's really nice looking.
Like, it's true. The
they
heart,
Pixar, but they got some fucking, they got skills.
Yeah. They do. They
the
do.
Heart and the art, I agree. That's.
Dang. All right. Six.
You see, you can't keep doing that.
Yes,
France
I can.
Can't do it. France can't. You know what? France, we're going to make it so that you go last every time then. Fuck you.
That's true. He should go last.
You can't keep doing that. Listen, you want to build up your credibility with me.
Oh, all right.
You can't keep changing your score.
You're confusing the listeners. They don't know what to do now.
I don't care about the listeners.
Fine. Give it a 9. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
Perfect 10. God.
Anyways, on that note, France needs to take a break. I think we all need to take a break, reassess ourselves, and how we be rating things.
Over the moon.
So... go get some moon cakes and let us know what and how they are. Because I don't even really know what they are. Guess we'll have to look that up.
How's it taste?
Yeah, get a moon cake. And when you come back, we're going to answer the burning questions of Baby Yoda and genocide. And go into our spoiler reviews and trailers. Moon cakes. Yay. Okay, we're back. I hope that you got mooncakes. And I hope that they're delicious because they look pretty in the movie.
They're filled with dates or something else. Yeah.
Shredded pork. If it's not shredded pork, what are we talking about?
It's a mooncake.
I think it's dessert.
Yeah, it's a dessert, bro.
Too much Great British Baking Show, my bad.
I feel like white people would put raisins in it. That's how I feel.
Well, it's a dessert. I mean,
maybe
it could work. I don't know.
All right. But the burning questions that we need to answer is, was Baby Yoda committing genocide?
All right. So, fuck the context, right? You're just going.
No. So the reason we're asking is because spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the episodes of Mandalorian. Let me say that real quick.
Now, question.
So stop listening if you haven't seen it. Or you could keep listening. It doesn't really like spoil anything for the episode, actually. It's just interesting. Listen. So Mandalorian, Mando, and this frog lady.
Din Djarin.
Is that their name?
That's Mandalorian's name.
That's his name.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the frog lady.
No, she don't have a name.
She doesn't. She's just Frog Lady.
On the poster, too.
It's I know. Frog even, Lady. Even when they responded on Twitter, they called her Frog Lady.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
I was like, jeez. Okay, so in order to get this ship fixed or whatever he had to do, he's like, in exchange, take this lady to, you know, the place you're going because she needs to meet her husband and fertilize her eggs so that her entire race can continue. And you're like, oh, shit, that's like a lot of pressure. So she's bringing these unfertilized eggs in a container which looks like the Tart Totter from Adventure Time.
Oh, it does.
Nobody noticed that. Eat the one that holds the pies.
I wish y'all could see the finger wag that Aisha just gave the planet.
Support it.
That shit was epic. Anyway, whatever.
So as soon as this container shows up, you know that Baby Yoda's going to eat some. Like his eyes.
No, I didn't know that off bat.
Oh, now yeah.
No, his eyes
were like, I want to eat those.
Yeah, but when he touches the tank, those eggs start like floating towards him. And the music, this is the first time that I noticed, and this is the first time we hear Baby Yoda's own music. He has his own theme.
Right.
So, and it sounds wholesome. And it's
the wholesome of like dinner's ready.
No. That's not the vibe I got from it. With the music and the fact that he was pressing his face to the tank and the eggs moved toward him. The first thought I had was, okay, maybe this is a little bit of a hint or a foreshadowing to how Baby Yoda species is brought forth. Maybe like I was thinking is maybe a connect in that sense. They're young, I'm young. Mm. I did not foresee what the fuck was going to happen later in the episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely saw that. So as the episode continues, you find him. He keeps eating these things. And I'm like, that shit is a delicacy. That shit is caviar right there. So he keeps eating it. And you're like, oh, my God, no. Like, she needs those. Her race has to continue.
It's last caviar.
Right. So, like, have a moment where you're like, oh, my goodness. These eggs, you can't eat them all or else that's it. But there had been a lot of pushback and outrage in the Twitters and the social needs that was really fucked up for the writers to have written that in. Like, how dare they think that's funny? This is committing genocide. Like, and these are not, I'm not like exaggerating at all. These were all real tweets and messages towards the creators being like, what the fuck were you thinking? So, question is, in our short time, do you agree that it was genocide? Or do you think it was kind of funny?
Are we also agreeing that genocide can be funny? Because your question kind of leaves that gray area.
Well, I'll say it technically wasn't genocide because he didn't eat all the eggs.
Yeah, it was unsuccessful genocide.
Right.
Attempted genocide at best.
Yeah. France doesn't care.
Because first of all, no. Shit is fucking fake. A. B. They're eggs. If you eat a bag of egg and cheese, you are not outraged. You don't even have the right to be outraged.
That's
if you
ever ate a bag of egg and cheese. That's where he went.
It makes no sense. One, it just doesn't make sense. Two, it don't make sense.
He's a baby.
He's a fucking child. I don't think he understands
exactly
the gravity of his tasty treats.
Exactly.
He's like, I want to eat.
He's like, ooh, this is tasty.
Ooh, I can have one.
I agree. I think people, like, there was a lot of other people being like, y'all are overreacting. Like me, number one, I was like, did you eat eggs for breakfast?
They're Star Wars fans. They're the most toxic fucking fan group of a popular, enjoyed fucking piece of fiction on the planet.
Although this fiasco here turns it into, like, it used to just be fanboys. I was like, now, like, this toxicity fan knows heretics? No gender. No. Everybody came out the woodwork for this one.
When I say Star Wars fans, I'm not just talking about the guys. The girls are in it too.
I'm being specific that they really, women and femme identity had a lot to say about this.
They did. I want to go and see how many white people were putting those tweets. That's what I want.
I want to see if those white people got the same energy defending fucking Finn and all these other. Fuck them.
That's what I'm saying. We getting upset about this fictional frog lady who Baby Yoda doesn't even eat all the eggs, and you out here getting caviar when you go out for fancy dinners.
Okay, the answer is funny. You hear the music. You see the music. You see the ending
exactly.
The comedic timing.
Hilarious.
Like, oh, you gonna clutch him up like I ain't got one in the cut.
You know, Pirelli Brothers levels.
Exactly. Like, fuck out of here, man. He wasn't even successful.
He wasn't.
All right, spoiler. She had the babies. All right, they're gonna be fine.
She had the babies.
Yes, she needs her own like theme song.
Did y'all say shit against Thanos? Huh?
Exactly.
Fuck out of here.
He didn't snap his fingers.
Mm-mm.
Frog lady.
You got too many eggs?
He gonna eat them eggs.
He only ate the Sith eggs. How about that?
How about that?
All right. He only ate the eggs that he sensed were evil and dark in the ways of the Force. How about that? All right. Fuck you.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Let's get into our soiree.
It's Francis' turn.
It's Francis' turn.
Yeah. Because I did it. Then Aisha did it last. And now it's Francis' turn.
I remember I did it. Because I felt weird about it.
Okay. I'm going to go full hood on this one.
Ooh.
Spoiler.
Keep this shit a secret, man.
Ooh. I feel like that was a call. Like, I should respond.
I mean.
Like, you're.
No, the response is run.
Ooh, that was like Mad Max. All right. So if you haven't seen the first four episodes of season two Mandalorian, please fast forward to our coming soon because I don't want to spoil that for you. And if you haven't seen Over the Moon, also fast forward. Or if you don't care, if you just want to know what we think and you don't care about being spoiled, keep listening because we have some really good insights for you. All right, so first, since we were talking about the eggs, I do want to talk about how people felt relieved really quickly because in that next episode, we see Baby Yoda and the Frog Lady and Frog, I don't know,
frog
spouse?
Man?
Frogman.
Yeah, Frogman.
Harvey Frogman.
Like seeing them turn to tadpoles and then like, you know, nursing one to life. So it was redeemed.
He also was astounded by the wonderment of life.
It was
cute.
It was very cute.
Very cute.
Yeah. Either way, I feel like Baby Yoda's cute no matter what. He could eat an egg. He could hatch an egg.
When Baby Yoda ate the full-grown fucking frog.
Right?
Y'all didn't say shit.
Didn't say shit. That frog was alive.
Endangered species.
That's because it wasn't the last frog of its kind. And shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Wasn't the last frog of its kind. It's true.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
Ate a baby spider. Nobody said nothing.
Yo, that spider
episode.
That spider was terrifying.
He dug that shit out and then went after the yolk excess.
Yes.
Yep. With the music playing.
That shit was terrifying. So if anyone is like, wait.
Mobile bells and chimes.
If nobody knows what we're talking about, basically when the frog lady went to take a bath in the hot springs in an unknown planet with all of her eggs out. Sounds very sexual.
Yeah, she had frog titties out and all that.
She was with the eggs. I was like, what is happening? And Baby Yoda, who, I don't know, maybe he's growing. Like, how hungry are you? Goes and, like, opens up this egg that starts the hatching. I'm going to call it. That's my first horror movie. The hatching.
You know, I really heard theories that people were saying, no, he didn't eat those eggs. He was saving them. And, like, maybe his species has, like, a protective sac or pouch.
He's going to like poop out frog people?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the lengths that people went.
To like feel better about it?
Yeah. And I'm like, just let it rock. What
it's
are
okay.
you doing?
Whatever.
Look at who the space cops were in this spider episode, man.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They so barely that's one fit thing. In the cockpit. Let it rock.
I'm confused about that.
Why?
So, well, okay. Because like, you know, Mike was saying, We're finding out where this connects and where it lies between what 7, 8, 9, right?
No, between episode 6 and episode 7.
So we're in between
the movies.
So we're in between
the Return of the Jedi and the Force Awakens.
We're in between that. So like Force Awakens hasn't happened.
No, Force Awakens has not happened yet.
Oh my God!
Like Darth Vader died,
right?
And Rey hasn't been born yet.
Holy shitballs.
That's what we're in between.
See, I've been trying to figure that out. I was like, none of this makes sense.
We're in the 40-year gap in between 6 and 7.
Yeah, Kylo hasn't even gone to school yet.
Kylo's not even born yet.
Facts.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, then now I don't have any more questions.
All right.
I'm joking. Well, now that we know where we are, so I think the biggest thing that happened in these four episodes was really getting to see the other Mandalorian. So we finally get to, you know, after obviously these side missions where you have to collect things to get to the Mandalorians. Because, guys, this is an RPG game, let's be honest. You got to do this to get there, to get this, to get that thing. Make sure you bring this potion that you got from that guy when he slept his floor for him. But
fetch quests.
Yeah. So finally we see this other Mandalorian when he's on that boat and almost gets killed by that beast thing in the water. And they take their helmets off. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, they repped their colors and they said different.
Right. So they kind of said, not like, oh, you're one of those, but it was like, oh, you're one of those. You're like kind of a zealot.
Yeah, chill,
so,
homie.
What do you think about that? Do you believe that, like, oh, his type of Mandalorians are like this crazy uber Christian types that don't take their helmets off, but we are just, you know, they're like born again Christians.
Helmets.
They're the born again Christians.
Wait. Let me stop you right there. Just all you have to say is overzealous religious. Because they all got them. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not exclusively.
They're like the overzealous.
All right. Okay.
Do you think that's true?
I mean, it's obviously true. She, Bo-Katan, played by Katie Sackhoff, a.k.a. Starbuck, a.k.a. Buck Nasty.
Oh, no.
she kept it a buck. She was like, yo, I'm from Mandalore. You? Not so much. So... What are you doing?
What I appreciated, like, she definitely tried to tell him, oh, like, she ID'd who he might be a part of.
Right.
But she wasn't, like, ill about it the way that her two comrades were. You know what I mean? Like, she was a little bit more diplomatic with it. But at the same time, you're right. She definitely pointed out to him that, nah, it's cool, bro. You can show me your face.
I was like, what the fuck, bro? She was offended, and rightfully so, because he was talking that reckless, like he on a high horse. And she was like, yeah, nah, you don't got a horse, my guy.
So you believe her? Like, she is from Mandalore?
Okay. Yeah, she's Bo-fucking-Katan.
Yes.
That dark saber belonged to her. Belongs.
Yes. Rightfully.
So why does it belong to her?
Because she's the rightful, she earned that shit, the leader of Mandalore, as far as we know, based on Clone Wars and all that other shit, the animated stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her sister was the ruler, and she was the head soldier. Her sister got bopped, and it's on her now.
A motherfucker betrayed her. Then he tried to play nice with Darth Maul, but Darth Maul betrayed him. Darth Maul had it for a minute. God. Ahsoka came in and whop. And then Sabine and them, they were like, here you go, Bo. And she's the last one to hold it as far as we know.
So this is all based on Clone Wars, the ones that, you know,
Clone Wars
animated
and Rebels.
Ones.
Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that Rosario Dawson had been cast as Ahsoka. Is that for this series?
Yes. So
that's what was said.
Mm-hmm. Like we saw reports that they finished pretty much season 2. And then they announced that Rosario Dawson was cast as Ahsoka Tano.
Right.
But like for season 2. So that's why I've been speculating saying if we ever see her in season 2, it's probably going to be something very light and small, probably towards the end.
Okay, it might be like Flash and you'd be like, oh shit, season 3 is going to be lit.
Yeah, like I don't think we're going to see heavy, you know, a lot of Ahsoka Tano stuff going on in this season. But I do think we will see her.
Right.
But it's going to be something very small and transitional going towards season 3.
For anyone who doesn't know Ahsoka, even I don't know Ahsoka that well, but she's very prevalent in the Clone Wars. She was a young Padawan.
And Rebels, but Jedi.
But obviously that gets very interesting in Clone Wars. I don't want to give anything away for that because I also haven't seen it all.
I mean, but, like 10 years in the...
I know, it's just like she's a very pivotal character in terms of like the morals of Star Wars and just badassery as well.
Yeah. You put it very
succinctly. That was a good assessment.
But you know what? Before we move on from Bo-Katan, I'm just going to... Aisha, I need to call you out on something.
Uh-oh.
We'll call your ass out real quick.
Is it about Starbucks?
It is a little bit about Starbucks, but let me just ask you this question. In general, you enjoy Mandalorian?
Yeah. Why? All right,
now, hold on. Uh-huh. You have told me and your audience on several occasions that the reason you can't take Battlestar Galactica the remake serious is because they walk around saying the sci-fi version of fuck by saying frack. This season in Mandalorian and last season a little bit, but mostly this season already in four episodes, we have heard the Mandalorian version of frack in the form of this dank ferric phrase.
Wait, what is it? What does he say?
They've been cussing like that, and you've been letting it rock, and I don't hear you bringing it up as a detriment the way you do and besmirch Battlestar Galactica. I'm calling out on that.
What word is
it? Dank ferric. That's a cuss word in the Mandalorian.
Oh, legit thought they were saying someone's name.
Well, it's like, God damn it. Like, that's what they're saying, okay?
Oh, my God, and this whole time.
And you, I'm calling you out.
No, this whole time, I legit thought that was a character, and I kept being like, which one is dank ferric? Like, I swear to everything.
Okay, but now that you know.
That is going to annoy me now. Now I wish it was a character I just haven't met yet.
All right. Because you got to keep that same fracking energy.
Yeah, freaking. When I saw her face, I was like, oh, no. What are we in for?
I don't know if she said dank ferric. I think Sasha Banks, Snoop Dogg's cousin, said dank ferric.
Snoop Dogg's cousin.
That's Snoop Dogg's cousin.
What?
We talked about Sasha Banks, the wrestler, the first Mandalorian that they saw on that planet. She was in the cloak. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Snoop Dogg's cousin.
I thought we were joking.
No, she's really Snoop cousin. She's very talented in the ring. She's obviously cut out for this action stuff. I thought she was great. Snoop's cousin.
Down lines a
oh damn.
Bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's dope. All right, well...
Da-da-da-da-da. For the record, we didn't say shit about the first four episodes.
Oh, I know!
We talked our shit.
I feel like I'm too loud on the mic. I feel like I'm yelling too much. Daryl, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, we can go back.
All right, not much.
You had a specific thing you wanted
to say?
There's
a lot to talk about.
I mean, the thing is, there was so much to talk about that it was like, we see Boba Fett's armor. We pause it, and we see one of the Boba Fett, the Jango Fett clones.
Right.
Wait, no, no, that was Boba Fett. What are you talking about?
You think that was Boba Fett?
Boba Fett is the clone.
I know, but when you say we see one of Jango Fett's clones, I mean, that's selling a little bit short.
That was the idea.
That's okay. Boba Fett.
So to be clear, this is like after, I think it's after episode two, I remember.
No, it's episode one.
It's after episode one?
It is episode one. Yeah, they started off the bat with that shit.
No, but the guy... Okay, so when they start off with like, oh, you see the armor and what's his name has it? Is it Fergie's husband?
Timothy Oliphant, yeah.
Yeah. Timothy Oliphant has it and he's like, oh, I got it from the little meat people.
Jawas.
And like, he's like, I got it from them. But then when he's like speeding away towards the end, you see that one person.
Yeah. Like,
walk away. You're saying that's Boba Fett.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you think it's the Boba Fett?
I think that is him.
Between the scars, the armor, and the fact that that big worm snake joint was living in a Sarlacc pit that was vacated.
Right.
Because of the crate dragon. Yeah. Right. No, that's Boba Fett. The interesting thing, I mean, this has been pointed out by a lot of people. I'm not revolutionizing anything here, but for our fans that may, I don't know if they're fucking aware of it, but Aisha definitely probably isn't. We see him at the end of the episode. He's in what seems to be Tusken Raider gear, and he has Tusken Raider weapons on his back.
He does.
He's been on Tatooine for decades.
A minute.
Wow. Yeah, so he knew his armor was with the fucking... The
Jawas.
The Jawas. I don't think he cared. I don't think he cared. Now, why might he care now? Possibly seeing another Mandalorian or whatever, or an actual Mandalorian. It all depends what they're going to do with it. Because there were stories, you know, in the novels and the comics and shit like that, where Jango Fett was a legit Mandalorian, but George Lucas seemed to retcon that in the prequels, and he basically put a line in there that intimated that we don't know how the fuck Jango Fett got that armor, which wasn't even Beskar. That, and right. That means Boba Fett's armor wasn't Beskar either. So no. It's like they're posers in yeah. They're like posers. So he's been there for a minute. Based on the footsteps and the location, the footsteps, the chime, the spur sounds, he was the one that walked up on Shennick Fox, Fenn, whatever, in the desert when she got shot in the stomach. Mm-hmm. He was the one that walked up on her in season one. You know what I mean?
Remember Ming-Na Wen's character?
Yeah, when she got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And then the post-credit, that's the only time they had like a post-credit scene when they show mysterious boots walking up to... Uh-huh. That was him because it was out in the middle of the Tatooine desert.
Right.
And it's the same sound effect that Boba Fett always makes when he's walking. It's like, it sounds like spurs.
Okay.
So I don't really know what the fuck his angle is.
What does it mean?
Yeah, like he's been living among the Tusken Raiders, like, you know, just chilling.
Learning sign language, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's such a like iconic character that like one never really had like the biggest backstory. So I wonder like what are they trying to develop with him? You know,
he's definitely a fan favorite off of very little. That's canon.
Very little.
Mm-hmm. There was so much extended universe stuff about him.
Yeah, badass stuff.
Yeah, that got, you know, not even retcon. She just got X'd out. Mm-hmm. In the expansion, so now they have the opportunity to either retell those stories in line with canon. Like there's a lot of room.
Yeah, a lot of room. But I mean, if you want to, since we're going spoiler, and you said we didn't speak about them four episodes.
Yeah, no, good.
I mean, they're doing in the last episode that we saw with Carl Weathers directed, we got a lot of intel on what Moff Gideon is trying to do.
Right. Goth Midian. Goth Midian.
Yo, come on.
That might be the name of the episode.
Why y'all gotta be Jovoviches? Come on. Don't do that.
No, yeah. And like, so this episode you said was directed by Carl Weathers. And yeah. I was talking about the fact that if you watch the behind the scenes from season one, they talk about how Carl Weathers treats Baby Yoda like it's a real baby. So in like everything, they're like, he like holds the baby and he's like always like telling people to be careful and this and that. Yeah. I thought that was so cute. So then this episode where you see so much more Baby Yoda than you ever have, like facial expressions, like he goes to freaking school.
he like humanizes Baby Yoda more in this episode than we've probably seen in any other singular episode.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense that, you know, when you pointed that out off mic, that Carl Weathers was like that.
Yeah.
Around the set, it made a lot of sense what I saw in the episode. He definitely wanted to give life
to that
little baby puppet.
It is super cute. And then when they did like the freaking ridiculous maneuver in the ship, I literally was like, he gonna throw up. That baby gonna throw up.
And he did.
And then he did.
And he did. But what I was saying real quick, I'll finish.
Yeah, no.
We learned in this episode, in the latest episode of Mandalorian, that they're trying to put midichlorian blood
into clones, into people.
They're trying to do that, and so we know that's not going to be really or entirely successful.
It's not going to work.
No, it's not supposed to work all the way.
Time tells us that
it's not going to work all the way. But like we know there's going to be physical deformities. But what if there's just like a mental deformity? But you know what I mean. So I don't know if because Boba Fett should hate Jedi. He should hate them.
Really?
Because, a Jedi killed his dad.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
And what do you call it? And what happened to him with Luke and, you know, him fucking causing him to lose and whatever. And Jango Fett famously took down many Jedis in his day. That's still canon. So, so he should hate Jedis and the Force?
Do you think he would try to help make whatever they're trying to do? I feel like they're trying to make Sith Lords.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where he's going
to
fall.
They're trying to make Snokes. Oh.
Then I was like, are they making Snokes? Because then that would make sense. Now that I know the time period, that
would make
sense.
They're trying to make Snokes and they're trying to make the Emperor again.
Right.
They're trying to clone him again.
So, like, why in the hell would using Baby Yoda's blood do that? Like, that...
Midichlorians.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like...
It has a high midichlorian count.
I feel like just, like, even though this is... you know, fictional magic science. I just feel like that doesn't make sense scientifically.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's never worked. Right. In any of the other Star Wars lore, like, they're trying to make it clear that this is not supposed to work. The best right. you could probably hope from getting out of this is a Snoke, which ultimately he was just a puppet of the Emperor, right?
That would make sense because he was all like,
and he was all deformed.
Yeah,
and seemingly physically frail and fragile.
Right.
So if that's the best you can hope for, I'm wondering within that spectrum, maybe you get somebody who has none of the physical deformities. But mentally, they're completely unstable. Right. So that could be a threat. You know what I'm saying? Somebody right. like that could be a huge threat to Mando and Baby Yoda and whatever, yeah. for, you know, to have fun within the story.
Right.
So we'll see. I don't think Moff Gideon himself wants to.
I was going to say, is he behind this? Because they, you know.
He's definitely behind it.
They were like reporting to him like, oh, we got it. We put a tracker in the ship.
I don't think he's trying to do it so that he could get that. Mm. I don't think he would risk it. Like, he's right. his hair and his mustache.
Right. And the way he talks. Mm-mm.
Yeah. He's not trying to risk that. No, he's not Wesker. Yeah.
For anyone who's listening is like, what the hell are we talking about? Basically, in that last episode, they find a base that is still active on. They're on Tatooine.
Navarro. Navarro 7.
He had come from Tatooine. So they're on Navarro. Dave Navarro. And they find this base. They're like, we got to get rid of this base because it's, you know, they're going to keep torturing us or we don't know what they're doing. We just got to stop it. And it's over lava. So like, we're going to explode it. And then they find these vats and a message talking about how they had extracted the blood from the child. It didn't work and they need more blood. So obviously there's some sort of clones and they definitely are looking to get more blood from Baby Yoda. So they better leave Baby Yoda the fuck alone. Because I will come for you. Anyway.
France, you want to say something about the room where we saw Moff Gideon, what he was working on? Do you know stuff about...
Yeah, what was he doing?
What was there in that room?
Yeah, in that final scene, we see he gets the message like the tracker's been placed and he's like around all this stuff.
He's like, excellent.
In that room are a bunch of like 6.5 foot bodies all decked out in black armor. Those are the Death Troopers.
I think it's Dark Troopers.
Dark Troopers.
I'm pretty sure it's Death Troopers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Either one is menacing.
Or
either
Death one is Squad. Menacing. I can't remember. They have a name that was really specific.
They're Dad Troopers.
They tell Step Dad jokes. Dad
Troopers. The Dad Squad.
But so those are very specialized in the way that Finn was taken and grown and like really fashioned into that thing. I was like, these troopers are like made to kill. They're an elite squad. If you see the all black joints, then you get embodied. A few of them were at that first confrontation. So I don't know if they're maybe in the act of repairing some of them or something to that effect. But
That's what I'm saying. I think we saw Death Troopers. That's why these are a little different. They're Dark Troopers because they're also, according to the only time we've ever seen them in Star Wars, I think it was in a video game. They're force sensitive.
Woo.
So they're like inquisitors, but they're forced inquisitors. You know what I mean? Like they're
what?
This is the result of trying to so we might see a squad of like inquisitors basically after Mandalorian and all that stuff, which is nice.
That
I wanna see
sounds like the opposite
see
of a
mayhem.
It's the opposite of a stormtrooper. Like stormtroopers don't hit shit.
Nah.
They go out real fast. Like everyone's a red shirt. There's no other types.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, it's like in Game of Thrones, they're like, throw the Dothraki at them first. They'll die and then
light their onks on fire. That'll work.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. That's why I feel like season 2 is really giving us some good gems. So I'm looking forward to where it goes.
I want to know when the next Bryce Dallas Howard episode is. I think she's gotten really good at the directing. At the directing.
Yep, I'm being clear at the directing.
Yep.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's fine. I want to see if Taika Waititi does another one. But I know it's
doesn't
slim.
Have the time.
So we make time, okay? All right, so let's get into our spoiler of Over the Moon. And you'll know why we gave the ratings we gave.
Yo, I need to hear this. Like, y'all really didn't like the movie?
Yo, I did not like the movie. I'll be very honest.
Wow. Okay,
I wanted to like it really bad. One, I was first putting off because I was like, oh, snap, I didn't realize the musical. Quickly, I got over that. I was like, okay, you know. The songs were not engaging. I didn't like any of them.
No, they weren't great.
They annoyed me at times. And I feel like the story was not strong enough for me. I was like, I get the theme and I get the moral of it.
There has to be one song you like. You didn't like the Chang'e song?
No.
Which one? The girl?
The one when she first comes up and it's like EDM?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was so annoying.
Really?
I was like, okay.
I thought it was appropriately corny.
Yes, but like corny. I was like, is it K-pop now? And what the hell is going on?
I mean, K-pop is kind of their thing.
I know. But that's why I was like, is that what's supposed to be? And then like, so basically I was like, okay, I get this. Like, it was very sweet with the mom and the family and all that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's like trying to go to the moon. And I was like, why are you going to the moon? To like convince your dad that this myth is real? This makes no sense.
Because the myth was true love, Aisha.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, bleh.
Wait, what? Why would you let me say that and co-sign that?
I was like, bleh.
The myth was true love.
Yeah, and then she found out it wasn't true. No.
Oh man.
Look it. Let's break this down. Okay? Hold on. We have here a female protagonist.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who is dealing with the loss of her mom.
Yeah, it was sad.
All right.
Yeah, sad.
And she is trying to do so in both a way that honors her mother culturally, mm-hmm. but also using her science brain know-how stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a positive.
Best intentions, yeah.
Sure.
It's a positive in that sense.
That whole shit with the maglev was cool as shit.
I loved it. I was like, smart. Yeah. And then I was like, honestly, all the voice actors are Asian, so I was very excited about that.
Yeah, like none of the science made sense.
None of it at all.
But it was just nice to see.
But it also didn't make sense, like, folklorically. So, like, she got...
How?
Like, why did she get whisked away to the moon? And then she cried a bunch of friends and made another world? What happened there? And then how come the girl, like, she gave the girlfriend, right? The dad's girlfriend gave her this mooncake that she was like, we use dates. I'm just trying to connect with you. And then she bit into it and it had a piece of jade in it. What the fuck?
Because magic. Remember, her new stepmom's family
is related.
But why related was that inside of it?
Because magic.
She was
magic.
Trying to kill her.
No.
She was like, choke on this, she's little girl.
Magic. It was magic.
I was like, the hell? And then it was like, she's like, we need the gift, right? And then I was like, why is she a bitch? Like, the lady on the moon. Like, why is she
Aisha,
so mean?
Oh, Chang'e.
She has had her moon time on the moon alone without her man for centuries. Like, and you're ridiculous. Wondering why she's a bitch?
She was being such a bitch. And then, like, what was the rabbit doing? Why was the rabbit making a potion? What was that?
I think that is part of the lore.
Yeah, rabbit's a part of the lore.
No,
yeah.
But remember he goes into his, like, after he's like, oh my God, we don't have a lot of time left,
he
right? And
love.
She plays ping pong with the little boy. And then,
love.
Like, he goes into this place and makes a potion. And I'm like, what is this? What is this?
But the potion didn't work until he experienced love.
But what freaking potion is it?
It's for love.
And when did we need it?
Before this is
why the movie falls
the
short.
Thing time. What is the
is
thing?
That it relies on people on someone's knowledge of the original lore in order for any of it to make sense.
Like, so it was only made for a billion people. Then is that what your complaint is?
That's not my complaint. It's why. Otherwise, the shit could have just been on Netflix China and be Gucci.
The last third of the movie was absolutely disjointed. Like the appearance of the Ken Jeong, is I think that was Ken Jeong's voice. The appearance of his character out of nowhere, and then how he kind of falls in love with Feifei
and
in terms of, you know, that was way too rushed and fast. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? Where you come from?
Who are you?
The fucking angry bird looking chicken things were weird because they were the only creatures that were anthropomorphically. They were the only ones that looked like Earth animals. So that
and
was kind
of bikes.
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
It was biker mice from Mars.
And then those frogs.
I would have preferred that.
And honestly, if everything is made because she was crying so much.
Yes.
What?
Only the stars. Only the stars. Only the stars.
Well, what were all these? But these, her tears turned into little blobby people too.
But this is the problem I have with it. It was this, because there were these really dope human moments in the beginning. Even like down, like the animation was stellar.
Oh my God.
There's like these little facial expressions that people do off center in response to what's happening, dead center, and it was really dope. And then it just goes off the fucking rails.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then the song, yo, there's no reason to have 18 songs.
So many songs.
Anything. It was so dumb. It didn't
unless land. You're Hamilton. No, I agree that the songs were not great. Like they definitely weren't great. But I didn't think that they were like terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't rolling my eyes. I was like, okay, it's functional.
Almost every time.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, for me, it was tolerable. Mm-hmm. But the last third of the movie is like narratively is just extremely disjointed. And I'll say this. I don't necessarily know who the audience was for this next Netflix film. For all I know is it was made directly towards young Asian Chinese children.
Yeah,
it was for them only. And if that's the case, fine. But I will say this. I don't want to criticize too much of what I'm assuming is lore mythology of it because I'm not super familiar with that. For
you
all I know,
about you not familiar. You play Smite.
Yeah, but Smite is not 100% lore accurate.
What you mean is not accurate?
Smite.
It's not because Smite, a video game, you know, it has Chang'e and Hu Yi, and there are mad symbols and exchanges between the two that intimate that they're lovers that have been separated and are always looking for each other. Yeah, sure.
Mm.
But in terms of other aspects of the stories of the mythology of the lore, whatever.
Right.
I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, it was completely inaccurate, or I don't want to insult it. If all I know is, nah, that was an Asian child who grew up with those stories, might be like, wow, that's a really nice take on it, or that's a nice touch on it. All I want to point out is that narratively, it was a little bit disjointed.
I think that's what would have helped. I think even though we don't know the backstory of the folklore and stuff, it's very easy that narratively to fill those gaps for anyone to be like, I can still enjoy this. I still get it. It still makes sense. I think that's where it fell off.
The movie was an hour 40. If it was just a straight up 2 hour movie, I understand it's for kids, but those 20 minutes, you could have used a lot of that to kind of fill in.
I had to
pause the shit at one point because we were eating dinner, me and Mima. And when I paused it, I was like, what the fuck? There was still an hour left. And I felt like I had already watched an hour of it.
That's the same thing that happened to us. I paused because we had been eating and I was like, let's put our stuff in the kitchen. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, there's still an hour.
Yeah, they packed a lot into the first 40 minutes of this movie.
Right.
But,
I'm not shitting on it. You know what I mean? I know that kids probably really, really love it. And it's very sweet. Yeah. The heart of it does get you. Like, you get emotional because you're like, it is a very good movie when it comes to the idea of loss.
Was it better than Mulan?
Leaps and bounds better.
Yeah. No, okay. I definitely liked it better than Mulan because I got more out of it than I got out of Mulan. Like, this is very much like, yeah, you know, when she goes into like the lonely thing and they're like, oh no, it's the darkness. And you're like, damn, that shit is real. And like, you feel for the moments, like aside from the things that didn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah.
You love the characters too. I didn't really get why the bunny didn't come home. I was like, you don't freaking know that bunny.
Damn, cue the saxophone. That's why.
I was like,
exactly. There you go. Yes, yes.
That was ridiculous.
All the
whispers.
First of
all, the age gap. Let's talk about it.
They're rabbits.
What? Been on the moon for a bazillion years.
Fresh. Because
and this
he's
is
immortal.
A baby bunny.
Nah, this bit Bungie?
Bungie.
Nah, Bungie
that baby's
ain't no
like
baby.
4 years old.
You know what that is in rabbit years?
Bungie, bougie.
I was like, y'all met for 2 seconds. You got this electricity power in your ears.
Rabbits, Aisha. Have you seen rabbits fuck?
Yeah.
Not a lot of foreplay.
Ridiculous.
Hot girl shit.
You gonna stay on the moon? The only last question I have before we move on is at the very end, we see her go.
I'd rather fuck on the moon.
I mean, yeah, that is a lot of questions. But she, you see her go to like that pond area, which was fucking beautiful, by the way. Mm-hmm, I was like, is this exist in real life? Because I would like to go. But this crane comes down.
Yes.
Right? And it is quite confusing. Because I'm like, is this crane the spirit of something?
Crane, it was a symbol on the clothing of Shangha and on the tapestry she had of her and Huyi. It was a symbol of what it stands for specifically. I don't know. But it wasn't like out of nowhere. It was definitely in the background.
No, it's a metaphor for them. Okay. Each of them are represented as cranes on...
Okay.
So there you go.
So like, so maybe, was that like, because at first I was like, oh my God, she's like talking to her through this crane. And then the crane was looking at her like, why are you looking at me?
Nah, the crane gave a knowing side glance look.
It did for like a second. And then
it flew away, touched her head with the wings as it flew away. But then see, that's the thing. And I don't.
Yeah, Mike, I see you completely. It doesn't have to be spot on the nose to be a thing, and that could be part of the cultural relevance.
Right, that we don't know. Piece.
I get
thank
you, bro.
Thank you for seeing that. But I also don't want to sound like a fucking oversensitive or like, oh no, feathers touching the top of a Chinese child's head. That's the same that as hearing means... ho 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 on a rooftop during Christmas. Like, I don't
yikes.
Fucking, I'm just saying, I don't know. For all I know, that'll make every Chinese person cry in a theater because of the significance that I'm unaware of. I have no idea. But I was watching this movie with trying to be that sensitive, but also that was the moment where I was like, wait, is that a thing? Or is that just like thing? Fred
yes,
said?
That's how I felt. Because even
it was nice. It was nice.
Right. Even like my child self, I was like, oh, it's even if I don't know the like significance, that's gotta be like Chang'e or like her mom or like something. And then like it gave her side eye and I was like, or it's just a fucking crane.
Yeah, had it pooped on her head as it flew by, then I would have felt different.
But either way, I think that sums up the movie a little bit. It was like, oh, and then you were like, what?
Yeah, on what? Oh. That's the two word review. Aw.
What? Beautiful though. Beautiful.
Looked great.
Stunning.
Two nerds and an actor. Aw, what? That's the review.
That's it.
I still think people should watch it. Kids should watch
yes. it. Yes. I think everyone should still watch it.
The hell else you gonna do? Just watch it.
And I know anyone else who like loves this movie is probably what the fuck is wrong with you guys? But
well, specifically y'all too.
Mike liked it.
I kind of liked it. Yeah, I don't mean to throw you under the bus. I love you.
Nah.
I live under the bus.
I'll be all under this bus. It's cool.
All right, soot. I just call you soot.
All right, I think it's time to look at some trailers.
Bus dirt. All right, trailers.
Okay, so we don't, we have to always dig in crates for trailers these days. As anyone has noticed, we're in a pandemic. And, you know, like people can't make movies the same and in the same time frame. So we got what we got. So first, I think, is the newest Michael Bay film. Yep, Michael Bay. Songbird.
Good morning, Miss Garcia.
Good morning, sunshine. I miss you. I could kiss you right now.
Yeah, well, someday.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
I actually realize now, why is it called Songbird? I literally have no idea. But basically, this is a film where imagine now.
Wait, you really don't know?
40 years from now, I guess. Was there a real time frame in this trailer?
It was definitely in the future. Yeah, I don't know.
It's the future.
The near future.
And everyone is obviously dealing with this sickness and like.
COVID-23 or 26? What was it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And they found a way to live. It's still like kind of apocalyptic style where people are not leaving their homes. Some people never leave their houses. And KJ Apa, who is the main character, he plays Archie in Riverdale, is the main character in this film, which I was like, yay, I love him. But I also don't know what it's really about. Like, what is the point of this movie?
Oh, the it seemed like from the trailer, the point of the movie was a juxtaposition between I forgot who the young woman is in this movie.
Oh yeah, it's like his girlfriend.
But she's stuck in the house,
mm-hmm.
and he's immune.
Right,
he has immunity. So it has juxtaposition between what freedom is, I'm guessing, which gives me a whole lot of scary red flag vibes around people talking about freedom and pandemics right now.
Right. It's who triggering. So like KJ Apa, his character like goes through, he's like on his bike and you see all these like military people like, get down. He's like, I'm immune. And he's like wearing this bracelet and like his girlfriend is stuck in her house and like people are trying to get in or something. And I'm like, whatever, stay in your house.
I remember the synopsis was saying that he's trying to like save her from being put into a quarantine camp.
Okay.
And I think that's the urgency that we're supposed to be getting from this, but it's not explicit.
Got it. So some people are trying to come to her house, take her to a quarantine camp because
could go be locked up.
Mm-hmm. And then like there's a moment where he's talking to her through the door in the trailer. And I'm like, you're immune, dude. Just go inside. Fucking hug her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how COVID-45 works or whatever. So
I guess that's true.
In that movie. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a movie that's being made to kind of like, oh, all you people that are anti-mask, this is how it could really be. This will give you something to really complain about. This is how bad it could be if only, like... I'm like, that's fine. Like, if a more tactical, careful filmmaker was behind a movie like that, I might raise an eyebrow and be like, okay, I wonder what they're going to say. But since this is a Michael Bay movie,
right?
They're just going to, you know, make quarantine pornographic and explosions. There'll be very surface level moments of like, you know, humanity, and everything else will be a caricature of, you know, reality. So I have very little interest in this just simply because I don't trust Michael Bay with such subject matter, especially while we're still in fucking quarantine.
Right. We're still doing it.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like it's kind of sensational. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this right now because this is the hot ticket. It's a hot button item.
Huh? It's clickbait, the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Good way of putting it. Yep.
Pretty much. All right. Well, we're not going to click on that clickbait. The next one I am actually very interested in. And not only because it has one of my toms, but it also seems like a really interesting story. It's a movie called Chaos Walking. It seems as though we're in also another future time, and not quite clear if we're actually on Earth or some other Earth, but it's a time in which women no longer exist. Women have all died, and the only people who inhabit the Earth are men.
Wait, and we know that they died?
We know that they died. Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
By virtue of the trailer.
Yeah. She asks, basically a woman is on the planet, Tom Holland. That's the Tom. He runs into her and he's like freaked out. He's all like, oh my God, I've never seen a woman before. And you're like, the fuck? And, you know.
Okay, gray worm.
Yikes.
But basically now in this time, all men's thoughts can be heard out loud. So she's like, how come I can like see and hear your thoughts? And he's like, you can see and hear all men's thoughts. So that is kind of like the thing that throws a wrench in doing anything in this world, where it's like you can always hear people's thoughts.
So Tom Holland is Taraji P. Henson.
Oh no, I think it's
post-apocalypse.
Everybody is though, because you can hear every man's thoughts.
He can.
No, everyone can hear each other's thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a Discord chat. Everyone is just in there. It's an Xbox Live lobby.
Everybody's just talking out loud.
It's just the bros. Like, it's, you know, bros. We got nothing to hide.
It's just locker room talk.
It's the bros. Nah, friends. Why you had to sell me? Why you had to do that?
There's no locker room. There's no ladies.
Yeah. Everywhere is the locker room.
But basically, it seems like
they're changing my meaning, guys.
Well, it seems like a Children of Men type of thing. It's like, well, now that we have the one woman,
I need to go.
Everyone's
back and watch
gonna
that movie.
Go try to get her.
I
for
really
reasons
need to go
I don't
back.
Know.
Aisha, you just reminded me that I need to go back and watch that movie.
Oh, Children of Men.
Where the fuck is Clive Owen?
Where is Clive Owen?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
I heard they were doing The Nick again, and that they were going to do like a continuation of The Nick, and I don't know if he's a part of that. But I think they're going into the future a little bit, but I don't know if he's a part of it.
We need to figure out where we could put Clive Owen in a Marvel movie or something. Where the fuck are you?
Agreed. I mean, he did, whatchamacallit?
I mean, he'd be my cast for Doom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so this film looks very interesting. It's very thriller, high stakes, action adventure.
Daisy Ridley is in it. She was being somehow or for some reason blackballed, and now she finally got a call up.
Yay.
So good for her.
Blonde hair.
And Tom Holland has been, he's been working. He's
My
been
God.
Working.
Steadily.
In like every movie ever.
He's been working.
Who is the one who's like in everything right now too? Like Yaya. Him and Yaya. They're just like, they're going to meet up at some point. They have to.
You know what I think? You know why I think Tom Holland is, not why, but he's also younger. But I think he's learning from, you know, his other MCU actor counterparts.
Right. Well, he says like, that Chris Hemsworth has been like a mentor to him for a long time.
Yeah, and Chris Hemsworth does other projects.
So much.
But, you know, Chris Evans and right. Robert Downey Jr., they didn't so much work on a lot of other things.
It's true.
While they were in the midst of their long-term Marvel contracts. I think that Tom Holland is making sure that he has time to do different shit and not just be Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to get stuck as Spider-Man forever.
Yeah. So that's good fair. For him. That's good for him.
I will watch it. I think the concept is interesting when it's like you can hear everyone's thoughts, because it's like if you're trying to hide and then your thoughts are like, bah!
Oh, shit.
Like, did you hear that? Yeah.
Shit, fuck, shit. My gun ain't got no bullets in it, but I'm going to act like it do.
Yeah, like, I know that you don't have any ammo. Just got to learn how to meditate. I think that's what it is. Like, clear your mind.
Mads Mikkelsen is in this as well?
Yes, yeah. He is. It's unclear whether he's a good or bad guy.
I'm going to... I interpreted it like he was a good guy.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people in this. Mads Mikkelsen, Nick Jonas randomly.
Is it Nick Jonas?
It's Nick Jonas.
Okay.
David Oyelowo.
Cynthia
Erivo was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were not in the trailer.
I saw her in the trailer for half a second.
I missed
but
that.
There's a lot of folks in there that we've seen in other things. So Doug Liman is directing. So we'll see how it goes.
I'll definitely want to see it. It's all of these trailers, I feel like, are also unclear whether they'll be in theaters or not. But that sounds right. So.
Yeah, because we don't fucking know.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
All right, so our last trailer of the evening is Breach, which is like motherfucking aliens on a plane.
First jump.
Yeah.
Just a little friendly advice. Would you get out of my seat? Come on. There you go.
It's Among Us, the movie.
With Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Like at first, when I was watching this trailer, my friends, France and Aisha, you guys, listeners, people, they were also on the Zoom call with me while I was watching this. And I have to admit, when I saw Bruce Willis strapping himself into a rocket ship, I immediately started bawling up. Like my eyes.
What's the Armageddon song?
No, don't.
I have no idea what he just did.
Oh, that was the Aerosmith. I don't want to miss a thing.
Okay. There we go. I don't want to close my eyes.
You going to sing it right now? Come on.
I don't want to fall asleep.
It's got to be off key. Come on.
I had to get back. I didn't know what that.
You're going to get us sued.
You're You're making Mike cry.
So, like, I got emotional. And it wasn't until the trailer showed that there were imposter passengers on this ship.
Yeah.
With long, sharp tongues. Ew. That I felt comforted. And I said, this is Among Us the movie. And
I don't know much about. I don't know much about Among Us.
I don't see AOC in the freaky cast.
What? I'm so confused now. I know nothing about Among Us. I know that it's scary. People say it's scary.
No. Yo, y'all, like one of these fucking days we gotta play.
One day. Well, basically, Bruce Willis and a bunch of other people are on a ship that is bound for New Earth.
Yeah, right. Who else is in the ship?
Yeah, I saw Bruce
Thomas
Willis.
Jane. Thomas Jane is in it.
Right. Thomas Jane and Bruce Willis are on a ship to New Earth, and they're carrying, I think they said, like, oh, there's a million souls on this ship. So it sounds like they're trying to go recolonize. They're very excited because it sounds like it's going to work. I don't know. And an alien kind of obviously breaches the ship. And they're like, oh no, we're going to New Earth and we're taking an alien with us? Not on my watch. Gun clocks. Brrr, and then like fire. We're going to kill them all.
Blue fire.
But they're taking over, like, you know, people bodies.
Yeah.
So they got to kill the people.
Yeah. And he walks on glass. He has to walk on the glass.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
In space.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, it's very exciting.
I'm excited, France. You're not excited for this?
No.
Damn. You can't even pretend to be?
Shot it down.
Okay, why aren't you excited for this?
That shit is wild, unimaginative. If you fucking read a Venom comic, this shit is over the OD, done. This is Dead Space.
Wait,
20 years late.
Wait. I'm sorry. Thomas Jane, we've seen him fight sharks, but when have you ever seen him fight aliens?
I feel like it's the same for Bruce Willis, okay? We saw him in Fifth Element, but that was just like, this is regular life with aliens.
Exactly.
This is different, okay?
Why, we've never seen a murder mystery thriller sci-fi movie with Bruce Willis in it. Why can't you embrace the possibilities?
Okay. Free-flowing elbow.
France. Like, I don't get it. What does this movie not have that is preventing
Samuel
you from being
L.
excited?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
We don't. First of all, we do not know. It has not been confirmed that he's not in this film.
That would be hilarious, honestly.
That would be the turn.
Yeah. I would watch that.
So wait, if Samuel Jackson is in this movie, for real, you'd be excited?
Deadass.
Motherfucking aliens on a plane.
Know that it's going to make fun of itself in a real way.
What if he's like,
I can't trust Thomas Jane to do that.
What if he comes in at the end and it's like, he's recruiting Venom for the Avengers edition?
The levels.
He's in a trench coat.
Would watch Venom 3 in a second.
You think you're the only thing in the universe?
You think you're the only imposter?
You think you're the only guy in the universe wearing a tank top crawling through glass?
Oh my God.
Yo, it'll be like ridiculous. If they did. It'll be like, yo, Time Machine Man, I wish I could go back and do the
Expendables?
Yeah, I wish they did Expendables like 10 or 15 years earlier, man.
I really love how we both knew what you meant from literally no clues.
I gave clues. I said Stallone.
You know, Stallone.
And I said the un. I don't know why it was like, I was thinking Untouchables, Unreachables.
We knew immediately. We weren't like Rocky Five.
Ungovernables.
The Uncastables.
The Uncastables. Oh.
No, I really wish they made those movies like 10 or 15 years earlier. Hmm. Can you imagine?
Expendables in space would be happening now instead.
No, it would mean that the MCU movies would be breaking those records.
Hilarious.
Seriously. Cobra Stallone and Commando Schwarzenegger in the same movie, it would have broke every fucking record.
I'm down.
Imaginable. And no offense, they wouldn't have to have force fed any like UFC fighters in there for cameos.
Well, we're all very excited for wherever these movies are coming.
I don't care about Breach.
I feel like they let you know like a month before. They'll be like, hey, this movie's coming out, right? You see the trailer, and then 2 weeks, they're like, it's coming out now on streaming. You're like, oh, okay.
All right.
I guess I'll watch that tomorrow.
I'll move that Zoom meeting.
So we'll see. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been a fun time, I want to say. I feel like we covered a lot of ground. We shitted on some things, even though we liked them. And yeah, catch us next time when we're probably going to be talking about what, maybe New Mutants, maybe?
Yeah.
New Mutants. It's available to rent.
We're gonna watch that together like a family. Like, distance socially.
Like a Marvel family should.
And we're going to watch that. And maybe we'll even talk a little bit Queen's Gambit. Who knows?
Queen's Gambit. People have been really excited about it. So I haven't seen it yet. So I should watch it.
We'll see. What's the name of the actress that plays Magic?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
What's her name?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
She is Argentinian.
She's a lot of things.
Argentinian.
Whew. She actually lived there, so that was cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. For all the Latinx people out there.
Or Latine. I've read articles where Latine is maybe more.
Ooh, I like that. Sounds fun.
Latine, they said, is probably more, it's like less appropriated than the X because the X doesn't have a place in the language. Anyway, whatever.
It's true. The X doesn't really exist. Yeah. But we'll get into that.
No, we're not. We're not going to get into that.
Next time, we will talk all about the origins of Latinx.
No. Kat, stop it. She got so excited just now. You stop that. Right now.
It's exciting. So, yeah. Catch us next time. Queen's Gambit, New Mutants. Maybe we'll talk a quick second about Animaniacs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yo.
We'll please. See. That would be fun.
Yo.
We'll have a question in there for Animaniacs.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, y'all. See you next time.
Bye. Be safe, everyone.
Please.
And if you do celebrate with your family this holiday weekend, be safe. And if you plan on shopping this holiday weekend for
Black
Friday.
Do it online.
Yeah, be fucking safe and smart, please.
Order it online like the rest of the world.
Yeah, all right? Do that for us.
Yeah, wash your hands. Yeah, oh yes, like, subscribe, donate, comment, all those things.